pushed in, and that's what kills the world. They can't budge around it. They can't get around it because it's a blow. If you read the last verse in Revelations, it tells you if you change or alter God's word, it's a condemnation upon yourself. You're speaking a curse because you're changing what God says. God says, I am what I am, and he does not change, and his word will be there as long as there is life on this earth. But they thought they could separate Israel from their God. You see, the Hebrew for light, like we see with the menorah this morning, is Ori. And if you know anything about Genesis, the first day God spoke light five times. When he was speaking creation, he spoke it five times on the first day. In Psalms 119, the world is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 8:12, Yeshua says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never be in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's what the menorah represents, whether it's the regular menorah or the Hanukkah menorah. It still represents the light. And while we walk in dreams, we have seen a great light. That's in Isaiah chapter 9. You know, on Hanukkah, as we said last week, each night that you light the candle, you get more light into the room. Each night is a different, is a more light coming into the room. But you know, behind the candles is darkness, just like this world. Behind the light of Yeshua is great darkness. And the world is still, as we've seen this week, as never before. You know, we're gradually getting to that point where all the nations are pretty much swarming now to come against Israel. They pretty much have it, the UN. I mean, the vote, the United States did not vote. And to me, that really was a vote. And we're finding out that the United States is the one that wrote up this resolution, that they're trying to blame it on the other nations or whatever that they're trying to do. But God knows the heart. People say a lot of things, but God knows the inside of a person. So they can lie to us, but God knows exactly where their hearts are at. So the world's still intent. And, you know, that's, you know, the Heavenly Father, he made light and he made darkness. But the darkness will flee when the light comes in. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the shadow of the gospel, because without the light, you can't have a shadow. You've got to have the light to produce a shadow. You can't do it in a dark room. You won't have a shadow. You can't, depending on how dark the room is. But darkness will have to flee when the light is exposed. You see, the Torah, really, it's a record of events which actually happened. It's not some made-up story that all these guys got together over thousands of years and said, well, you write this and I'll write that, and we'll try to backdate it. I mean, you know, it's sort of a little, you can probably do that now with computers and go and alter things. But, you know, it's still the written word of God, whether it's in the Torah, the Torah here that we have that has been written by hand, or whether it's a printed Bible, it's still the word of God. And it's still two elements of the word, written and oral. You see, the Jewish people are unlimited. They're unlimited people because God sent them in this world to reveal his love to each of us. It's through the Jewish people. That's where the scriptures, they're the holder. That's why they're the chosen people, is because God chose them to carry the word of the Lord. That's the light unto the Gentiles, the light unto the rest of the world. And so every Jewish person's time is coming that they will be a source of power and influence in another person's life to show how great God is and how infinite God is. If anybody ever reflected the love of God, it would be the Jewish people, because look over the centuries at the failures, at the miracles God did, but they still fell by the wayside. They still, the Red Sea, the manna, you know, the cloud and the pillar of fire, and they still followed idol gods. They still followed, even after all of that, and God still loved them. That's quite an amazing story, that you would have thought he would have turned away after all of that, and after the miracles that he did, that they still followed the pagan god. And it's so real today. And, you know, just to close this Torah portion this morning, you know, we're heading to a final battle. And it's really like the Battle of the Maccabees fought at the Battle of the Hanukkah and the light, because the day is coming, as in day that the throne of Zeus was erected in the desecrated the temple. The altar was desecrated. And we'll see in the end time in Revelations again, just like at Hanukkah with the Maccabees, someone will stand in the temple and they would desecrate the temple of God by saying, "I am God," and they're not. And we see that's coming, and that's why I think Hanukkah is a reflection of the end times. It's a light of what is going to come. As in that day, there was a man who stood, said he was God, and so in the end times, there will be another person who will stand and say that I am God in God's temple. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. I'll rise for the closing of the Torah.
Vizot ha-Torah, asher sam Moshe, lifnei b'nei Yisrael, al pi Adonai, b'ya Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
I'm a little scratchy, so I'll try.
We'll try. It's Cain. We don't. Christy didn't. I don't think knew that.
It's
one.
Cain.
Hey, lam zim kiba betokehar merushar derakehe derenoam bikonevoteha shalom. Vashiveinu Adonai Eleha v'nashuva Kadesh Kadesh Ameinu Kadesh Ameinu Kekeidim. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return, renew our hearts as of old. Amen. You can be seated. I'll give you a chance to bring your tithes and offerings this morning. Let you prepare for that. We have two guests this morning, Jim and Kelly Fritz from Bluff City, Tennessee. Now, you all originally from Bluff City, or just he's from Bluff City. Y'all just moved here recently. We want to welcome them this morning. Mm-hmm. Welcome. You know where we're at now, so we expect to see her next week. Okay. Have you all been attending a Messianic congregation? Or okay. Well, you're welcome. They're all a little different, but we all worship Yeshua, so that's the main thing. Difference is okay as long as we end up in the same spot. Okay, so we'll let you. I'll pray for the offering this morning, and then you all can bring it. The big box tithes. The basket is for where we're taking money and giving it to the needy, and it goes to the MJA, and they send it to Israel. And I think when we took the trip to Israel a couple weeks ago, we sent $5,000 over there to help, which is quite a bit, really. That basket's produced a lot of money. That normally it was changed. Now it's got the quiet money in it, so that's great. And then the small box is for the building fund. We still have things that we need to do here in the sanctuary and in God's house this morning. So be cognizant of that as you give your tithes and your offerings. And this is the last Shabbat of the year. Tonight the new year begins at midnight. So the world will go into mayhem at 12 o'clock. So people get real crazy around midnight. So it's sort of wild. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat that you've given us today, Lord. We just ask you to bless us today, Lord. Bless Pastor Bowers as he brings us a word that you have put in his heart this morning, Lord. We just thank you for the many blessings that this family's brought to this congregation as they have come repeatedly and assisted us with your word, Lord. And we just thank you for each one that's here today, Lord. Bless the gift and giver today, Lord. May we have a good measure pressed down, shaken together, Lord. And may the cup run over with glory from you, Heavenly Father. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Y'all can bring them as you're ready.
All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel, all Israel, all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved.
Do worship, and then we'll do the Shalkon Adonai after the worship.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to try not to spring any new stuff on you, because I like for you to sing with me. I want your help, okay? But if I do sing something different, I hope it's simple and you will sing along, because we're here to worship Yeshua. Amen. Amen. It's all about Him.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, our Savior. God, our Healer. God, our Deliverer. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Every praise is to our God. Come on.
on, God, our Savior. God, our Savior. God, our Healer. God, our Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, our Savior. God, our Healer. God, our Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise.
Trials, famine, and darkness, and sorrow.
give him a shout of praise. Who was and is to come. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Who was and is to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Tadonai. Kogoim Shabeku Kohamim Ki Gavar Aleinu Kastobi Me Adonai Leolam. Hallelujah, 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 Adonai Kogoim Shabeku Kastobi me Adonai Leonam. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Israel shall be saved. Seems like y'all want to rejoice this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's do all Israel. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel. All Israel. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel. All Israel. All Israel shall be saved. I believe. I believe the perfect faith that all your people will be saved. Yes, all Israel. All Israel. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Sound the shofar. Sound the shofar. Amen. Blow that shofar, buddy. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. You're holy, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the
with Thanksgiving praise.
My mercy endures forever, says the Lord. My mercy endures through all generations, says your God. For I love you with a covenant everlasting love, and I will not back away. No matter even if you stray, I will not back away from my covenant of love and mercy and goodness to you. Have I not even said that I will crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies, because you are engraved upon the palms of my hands? You are mine, says the Lord, and I love you. So I say to my children, rejoice in my love. Rejoice in my love. Rejoice in my love. Oh, be exceedingly glad that my love came to you. You did not deserve. You did not earn. It was my gift to you. My gift to you. I was not just giving you something. I was giving you myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Glory. Are we going to have Shabbat school today, or we are? Okay, just checking to make sure. Okay, me and Diana are going to serve you this morning, and prepare your hearts to receive the Shalkana Adonai, the table of the Lord, and we will pray over that this morning, and then you all can come. Me and Diana will serve you. You know, it's about redemption. The table is about redemption in a secret with the bread. It's about finding it in the reward. It's about the children. It's about the kingdom of God. So this morning, Yeshua, he said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah. It's the shedding of blood, the remission of sin from the Garden of Eden until now. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam, borei pori hagafen, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. He took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua came forth from the grave, the bread of life. Amen. So we prepare your hearts to be served this morning. Thank you, Christy, for worship this morning.
Thank you.
I think that was a touch and a taste of heaven. Really good. We can go ahead and let the kiddos go on down to Shabbat school. We'll pray for them as they go. Heavenly Father, we pray over our young kids this morning, Lord, that you will anoint their hearts, Lord, and they may be fertile ground found this morning, Lord, as their teachers present the teachings of your scriptures, Lord, to them this morning, that their hearts will be changed. In Yeshua's name we pray. And bless our teachers this morning, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've got, we're going to move the lectern down. Okay, we're going to have our guest speaker come now, Ed Bowers. I think everyone knows him, and if you don't know him, he'll probably tell you a little bit about what they're doing right now. They are missionaries, and they're planning to go return to the field, so we're going to turn the service over to him this morning, and he will bring us the word of God this morning. So come, Pastor Bowers.
Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom. Isn't our Lord awesome and good? Praise the Lord. It's just, you could just feel the presence of God. Amen. I love it. You don't always have this quality of move of the Spirit sometimes in a service, but when it happens, when His holy presence just comes in and settles upon His people, how blessed we are. Amen. And Kathy and I are missionaries. Let me just back up and say we're also not just missionaries, but we're on the ministry board of For Zion's Sake Ministries, and we're so honored to be serving and assisting Rabbi Joe and Dawn in the ministry that God called them to, and that the line of Judah Messianic Fellowship is a part of that ministry. And we've known Dawn for a long, 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 long time. Okay, I'll tell you what, maybe I ought to just do this for a long, long time. And so we just appreciate all God's called them to do and their obedience to do it. And in 2003, the Lord called us to leave pastoring. We were pastoring in Abingdon, Virginia at Living Waters Family Church. And we went to India. We were there for 11 and a half years. And then in June of 2015, we were blacklisted. We can't get back into India right now. But the work continues. The Lord gave us a plan when we went, and that was to train nationals to do the work of the Lord. And so we've been able to establish a children's home there, which continues. And children there are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, receive nourishing food and clothing and love and attention. They know they're not in a children's home per se, but they're just home. They feel that loving family atmosphere. They're working in the church there. The Lord helped us to establish 4 Bible schools in India. And we are just so thankful for all. And there's also Pastor Solomon, who runs our children's home, has got a widow's ministry, has a ministry to women prisoners in jail. And they go in there and they teach them the tailoring trade. India is a third world country, and they do have ready-made clothes, but the majority of their clothes is still tailor-made. Got a little tailoring shop set up all along the streets and sidewalks. So they go in there and they teach these women the tailoring trade, and that gives them a perspective of life when they get out, that they'll be able to sustain their life and be productive. But at the same time, it gives the opportunity to share Yeshua with them. And so we thank God for that. And the Lord has opened the door for us. We're going to a little island called Mauritius in February. In fact, we will fly out of Dulles in Washington, D.C. on February the 1st, flying to Mauritius. It's a little island off the coast of Madagascar, and about 600 plus square miles. We're going to start a Bible school there. We're going to be ministering to the lost, believing God for a harvest of souls, see people delivered and set free, filled with the Holy Spirit, and whatever else God has for us to do there. And then sometime In 2017, the date has not been set yet. We're going to Kenya, Africa, start a Bible school there, and preach the gospel, teach the good news. Amen. This world needs to hear good news. If you want the bad news, just watch CNN, NBC, all those. They'll give you all the bad news you can handle and a lot more besides. But if you want good news, here's the book. Amen. Somebody said this was a manual for life. It is, but it's also a good news manual. It's just filled with good news. And so we're going there. And then sometime early part of 2018, we're going to be going to the Philippine Islands to minister. And we thank God for these doors that the Lord's opened up. Jesus appeared to me in two different visions. And in the first vision, he said, go preach to India. And we feel like we'll be going back to India again, but at least we've launched in India. And then the second time Jesus appeared to me, he stood before me and his right hand was behind him. And I knew it just intuitively that he had something in his hand, but I couldn't see what it was. And I said, Lord, what have you got? And Jesus brought out the world. It wasn't a globe like would sit on your desk. He was holding the world, and it was hanging by a thread. And he spoke to me, said, the world is hanging by a thread. Go preach to the world. And every day that passes by, I believe the thread is unraveling just a little bit more. We've got a work to do. Hello? I'm not just talking about Kathy and I. We, Body of Yeshua, have a work to do. Amen? And we need to be, as Jesus told Mary and Joseph when they were seeking him and wondering why he had not followed them back going home and stayed behind and was in the temple asking questions and giving answers to the rabbis. And he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I believe that we, Yeshua's body here on the earth, must be about the Father's business. The same mandate that was on Yeshua to do the work that God had assigned him is on us. Amen. So we covet your prayers that when we go, that the Lord's blessing will be with us, that we'll be protected as we travel. My wonderful wife Kathy is with us this morning. Could we welcome her? You can clap a little louder than that. Isn't she beautiful? God. Come on, give a hand. It's all right. Somebody said you shouldn't kiss in church. I've got a license to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We appreciate Rabbi Joe and Dawn. We need to remember them in prayer as they're there ministering to his mother that fell and broke her back. And also we need to be praying that the Lord would give Rabbi Joe and Dawn open doors of utterance. You know, the Apostle Paul requested that the saints would pray that God would grant unto him a door of utterance, an opportunity to speak. And so Rabbi Joe is believing God for his mother to be saved. And how many of you know that for them to be saved, she's got to hear the word? So let's pray for God just to open that door, to give supernatural utterance to him and just the right season, and that the Holy Spirit even now is preparing her heart to receive the word of God. Amen. Well, is your heart ready to receive the word? Amen. Amen. Good. Praise God. Then let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 26 through 30. Luke 1, 26 through 30. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Let's pray. Father, we just ask that your blessings would be with us today as we gather around, Lord, your table, as it were, to receive from your word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just come and break open unto us revelation and insight and understanding of the word, that we might know how to apply it and how to receive from it. I ask you, Lord, that all of our hearts might be ready ground to receive the seed of the word. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Before we get into the, I guess you'd call it the heart of what God's put on my heart to share with you today, I think it's necessary that we understand that, yes, Mary had a calling on her life. But for this that we're going to share with you today to really have relevance, I think it's important that each one of us understand we have a part to play. We have a call on our life. Even if you haven't accepted Yeshua yet, there's still a call on your life. Now, you can't fulfill it until you receive him. But God has ordained things for your life. And I'd like to know before I get going, how many of you in here, you have received Yeshua as your Savior? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. That's something to be exciting about, isn't it? To know that we have come from darkness to light, as Rev. Anthony was sharing with us earlier, that we're walking in the light of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. That our sins are forgiven, that through his broken body, he made an entrance for us into the very throne room of God, where we can worship and fellowship with our Father. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 16, I'm reading out of the International Standard Version. It says, "In whom the whole body, united and held together by every ligament with which it is supplied, as each individual part does its job, the body builds itself up in love." What the Apostle Paul's getting at here is that every person in the body of Yeshua has got a place of function. There's a call where you're assigned to do something or many things, okay, in service to the Lord through serving others, through serving each other in the body, through serving those outside of the body that they may come to know Yeshua and be a part of his body. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's important that we realize that just like Mary, the Lord has made assignments on our life. The Lord's made claims to our life and called us to do certain things as his representatives. Whatever Yeshua is going to do in our day and time, he's going to do through his body. Just the same thing with you humanly. Whatever you're going to do, your mind decides to do, if it's going to have any representation or manifestation, it's going to happen through your physical body. Well, we're the spiritual body of Yeshua, and he's given us assignments. And besides just thinking about ministry within the assembly, how many parents do we have here today? Raise your hand. See, God's called you to with an assignment as a parent. Or if you're married, the Lord's called you with an assignment as a husband or as a wife. If you're working on a job, that's another assignment, to be a marketplace witness for Yeshua. Amen? Amen. So all these different things tell us that there's a great deal of similarity between us and Mary's situation that we read about. In fact, I think that it would be equally scriptural and true for us to say that we are highly favored, just as Mary was highly favored. Amen. You say, well, why would you say that? Because we too have a call. And one of the things that I want us to understand today is that when there is a call, and God has certainly placed a call on each of our lives, and certainly he put a call on the life of Mary, that when he does that, he puts his favor on our life. Number one, it's a favor from God that we are called. It's a favor from God that we were called to come into fellowship with him through Yeshua. Where would we be today had we have not heard the word? Where would we be today if we were not in relationship with God through Yeshua. We'd be in darkness, as Brother Anthony was telling us. We'd be walking around not knowing where we were going, not really understanding what life was really all about, not knowing what life was. For life has, for us, has its beginning and its eternal existence in Jesus Christ. Amen? He's our life. The Apostle Paul said, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you'll appear with him. He's our life. And so it's so very important that we understand that, that we realize and sense that it was the favor of God, the blessing of God, grace of God that called us into Yeshua. And then, you know, so many times when we think about working for the Lord, this word work kind of conjures up in our mind this thing of laboring and toiling and sweating, and it's hard and burdensome. And you know, no wonder people in the church don't want to do it, because they've got these ideas that it's this bad thing, it's this horrible thing. But really, it's a part of the favor of God that you've been called to do something for Yeshua in Father's name. Amen? Amen. We've been called to do something for the King of... What greater honor can you have in life? If you got a phone call today, and lay aside politics, lay aside being Democrat or Republican, but, you know, I am not the probably favor or fond of our current president, President Obama. But if I got a phone call this afternoon saying that he wanted me to come and do work on some project for him, I would still consider it, I was honored because of his position. Look at the position of Yeshua. He has a name that is above every name. We ought to be the happiest people, most excited people, that we've been called to be a part of what he's doing. Amen? And so when the angel Gabriel began to speak to Mary and she was questioning all these things, he said, you've got favor with God. Now, that went even beyond the idea of the favor of doing something for God. That was a major part of it. But it went beyond that. You see, favor comes from the Greek word charis. We get that word charismatic from it. It means giftings. And the word favor is also translated from that same Greek word, charis, to mean grace. And many times when we think about grace, we've got this true but yet limited understanding of what grace is, what favor is. We have been told that grace is God's unmerited favor. And that's true, but that's only a part of it. Because if you study what the Apostle Paul said, he said that when we seek to be justified by our works, we have fallen from grace. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said in Galatians, he said, you've fallen from grace. If you're trying to be justified through what you do. Because our works, at their very best, are as filthy rags. Jesus said, your righteousness to the Pharisees is like filthy rags in the sight of God. You just don't measure up to God's standard based on what you do. Okay? You don't. And so Paul says, when you try to do that, you fall from grace. Well, let me ask you a question. If grace is only God's unmerited favor, that's all that word means. Unmerited favor means you could never do anything, or you could never fail to do something that would disqualify you from being in grace or in God's favor, right? If that's all the definition held. So obviously, from what the Apostle Paul said, there's more to grace and God's favor than just unmerited favor. That's an important part of it. And if you boiled it all down to a nugget, I guess you could say everything that we have and we receive stems from that unmerited favor that God gave us. But I'd like to share with you another definition for grace or favor this morning. This definition I got from Dr. Mark Rutland in one of his teachings. Dr. Mark Rutland was the president for a while, I don't think he's doing that now, of Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he gave this definition. You might want to write this down. Grace slash favor is God's empowering presence. God's empowering presence. God's empowering presence. I'm repeating it because some got started writing a little late. And I think this is good for you to have. God's empowering presence. Enabling you to be everything He created you to be. Enabling you to be everything He created you to be. And empowering you, empowering you to do everything He's called you to do. Awesome, isn't it? And this has a real direct application to verse 30 that we read, where Gabriel said to Mary, "You're highly favored." Now, he didn't just say you're favored. That'd be awesome. But he gave an emphasis when he said you're highly favored. You know, you can say somebody's an official, but then if you say they're a high-ranking official, they're really up on the totem pole, amen? I want you to know that we've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2, amen? That means we've got high favor on our life, giving us the ability to do what we've been created to do and empowering us to accomplish what God has called us to do. In other words, this favor was not just an acknowledgement that yes, God's called you to do something, and that's an awesome privilege, but it was also saying to Mary, everything you need to do this is now being given to you. It's being made available to you. Now, there's some things that Mary had to do, and we're going to talk about that. There's some things we have to do also to access the favor and this grace and the resources that it brings. But I want you just to catch this one thing, right? Make a note of this. Favor slash grace is God's provision for you. God's provision for you to complete the assignment that God has given. To complete the assignment that God has given. Favor slash grace is God's provision for you to complete the assignment. You see, when God gives you an assignment, He knows that there are things you're going to have to be able to complete it. And sometimes we're like Mary when she said, when the angel told her that she was going to conceive in her womb and she was going to bring forth a son and going to call his name Jesus. And her response was, "How can this be? How can this happen?" And sometimes when God is giving us, in fact, I'd say every time when God's giving us an assignment, when He puts a call on our life, we look at the assignment, we look at the call, and we think, "Lord, how can I do that? How can this be? How can this get accomplished?" And thank God that the angel Gabriel said, it's going to be because the power of the Holy One is going to overshadow you. And what's going to happen in and through you is going to be the result of God's work. Look down at verse 35. This is the angel's response to Mary's questions, "How can this be, since I didn't know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you," empowering presence. "Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Awesome. Amen. God, Gabriel is telling Mary, this is how it's going to happen. This favor is going to produce an empowering presence in your life. Giftings are going to come to you. Abilities are going to come to you. Talents are going to come to you. Enablement's going to come to you. But also along with that was going to come finances. You see, one of the definitions of this Greek word, charos, also means benefits, bounty. That's an abundance of wealth, material things. Reward. So when she and Joseph left to go to Bethlehem for the taxation, there had to be a supply line financially. I mean, Joseph's not working. He's not bringing any money. And not only that, but even after they got there and the child Yeshua is born, then also they were told, don't go back. You got to go to another place. And they went into Egypt and stayed there. And again, he's not working. There's got to be provision. That's why the favor of God caused the wise men not only to bring frankincense and myrrh, but also to bring gold. Amen. Because God, in his favor on Mary and Joseph, was saying, hey, I'm making provision for you. How many of you have got a vision or a dream or a call God's put on your life and you just know in your heart of hearts it's bigger than anything you can do by yourself? Anybody? Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something. God is up to the task. Look in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul is telling the people there at the church at Ephesus how he's been praying for them. And this is one of the prayers, one of at least two prayers in the book of Ephesians that Paul prayed for the church there. And he says at the conclusion of his prayer, which was awesome, if you read starting there, verse 14 and reading on down through verse 19. I mean, what he was praying was unimaginable in the realm of the natural. But it's not unimaginable with God, amen? And in verse 20, Paul sensed, hey, when they hear what I'm praying, they're going to think, how in the world could we ever come to such a level, such an understanding, and to function in a realm that you're praying for us to function in? So in verse 20, Paul says, now to him, talking about God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power, remember, empowering presence, according to the power that works in us. That empowering presence of God's grace and favor in your life enables you to be able to receive what would be humanly impossible. You see, Satan loves for us to look at the limitations, doesn't he? God calls us to do something, and the first thing Satan wants you to do is to notice how impossible it is and how unlikely it is and how that you don't know how to do it. You don't know where to get the resources to do it. God never sends us out to do anything he doesn't equip us to do through his favor, through his empowering presence working in our life. Why? Because God doesn't want anybody ever thinking it's you or it's you or it's you or it's me. He wants people to understand it's him working through us. Amen. We're just vessels. We're, as it were, we're garden hoses carrying a supply to people. Amen? You know, when you're watering flowers, you don't care whether the hose is green or red. You don't care whether it's made out of, you know, polyurethane or what it's made out of. All you care about is it carries the water to the plants. Because it's not the hose, it's the water that's really life-giving. The hose isn't going to give any life to the plants, amen? But what is necessary is that there be some means of getting the life that's in the water to the plants. And so the hose becomes the conduit, it becomes the mechanism, it becomes the tool, the instrument that you're using to get the life of the water to the plants. Well, we are hoses, we're vessels that God is using to get his empowering presence to a lost and hurting world, amen? And he doesn't want us to ever get puffed up or to ever think we can do anything. Didn't Jesus say in John's Gospel chapter 15, without me ye can do goose egg, zero, zilch, nothing. Amen? Amen. Now Satan would have you think that that means, okay, you can't do anything. No, it just means you can't do anything within yourself. But we're not in ourselves. We're supposed to be in Christ, in Yeshua. Amen? And in Him, there's all these resources that are available. Financial, emotional, spiritual, physical, whatever you need to do the assignment that God has given you, it's available to you. Now, favor, grace, can't work unless you accept the call, number one. You see, there are a lot of people that are wondering why their things are not showing up in their life because they've never really embraced the call. See, I believe that when you embrace the call, it becomes all-consuming. All that matters to you is finishing, doing the call. That's how the Apostle Paul said. He came down to the end of his life, and he said these words to the young preacher boy, Timothy. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Paul's heartbeat, if you study his letters to the churches, the passion of his life was doing what he had been assigned to do. Amen? I'm not going to, well, yeah. Well, no, I won't. I started to say I'd ask you to raise your hand. So I just want you to do one of those internal checks. How many of you understand what your assignment is? How many of you know what God's called you to do? Now, you may be working in the synagogue, in the church, congregation, and that's good. That's wonderful. But that within itself, whatever you're doing in the church, that may not be the totality of your assignment. Don't quit. Don't stop. My goodness, we need workers in the church. Amen. But at the same time, that may not be all that the Lord's got assigned for you to do. And if you don't know what it is, how can you embrace it? And if you know what it is and you do not embrace it, there's no reason for God to send the grace and the favor because there's no purpose in it. Its purpose is to enable you and empower you to do what He's called you to do, right? Excuse me. Look with me in Luke's Gospel again. Chapter 1, verse 38, and also we'll look at verse 45. The second thing is, once you've accepted it, then you've got to step out and release faith about it. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Okay, here we are. Thank you, Father. 38, excuse me. Verse 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Then Mary said to Gabriel, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Amazing. The angel stayed. The angel explained. The angel said everything he was supposed to say. But he never left until Mary gave an answer about the assignment, that she would do it. She was willing to allow God to do in her that was necessary to fulfill what had been given to her. That's faith. Knowing in her mind the reproach that could fall upon her and would fall upon her for being found with child and no relationship with a man, no husband. Knowing that according to the law, she could be stoned, her life could be over. I mean, see, Satan will try to make you think if you obey God, you're not even going to get, how are you going to do the will of God? You're not going to be alive. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. And then when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, in verse 45, Elizabeth gives this blessing about Mary. She says, blessed is she, talking about Mary, but also talking about anybody else who'd follow this criteria. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment. Okay? In the original Greek, it more clearly reads, believes that there will be a fulfillment. Blessed is she or he who believes there will be a fulfillment of what God has said. In other words, believing that God not only has given you a call, but the same God who called you is the God who will fulfill that assignment. That requires faith. Before you've done anything, before you've said anything, taken any actions, God says, I want you to believe me. Believe in my ability. It's like the story of the man who was a daredevil. Kind of like the evil Knievel type of person. And he had decided that he was going to do a feat that had never been done. He was going to push a wheelbarrow across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope. And to make it even more daring and difficult, he was going to not only push a wheelbarrow across, but he was going to have somebody sitting in the wheelbarrow. And so every day he, in his backyard, was practicing pushing this wheelbarrow. And his next door neighbor kept saying, every day he'd watch him and see, I believe you can do it. I believe you've got the ability and the skill. You're going to succeed. And so on the final day, when he was getting pushed the wheelbarrow up to the rope and he's getting ready to start out across the Grand Canyon, this neighbor comes up and puts his arm around him and says, I just want you to know I still believe you could do it. He says, do you really? He said, yes, I do. I don't have a doubt in my mind. And the daredevil said, great, get in the wheelbarrow. You see, a lot of times God's waiting on us to get in the wheelbarrow. Amen. To be willing to take that leap of faith. Some people say just take a leap of faith out into darkness. There ain't no darkness with God. We're not taking a leap of faith into darkness. We're taking a leap of faith into the light of the Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Amen. So here we got these two verses talking about the fact that this thing had to be sealed by faith. This agreement between God and Mary, the agreement between you and Yeshua, has to be sealed by faith. You see, the angel gave her a word, and we have to have a word from God, because everything starts with the word from God. Creation, as Brother Anthony was talking about this morning, started with God speaking a word. Amen. God's work in our life starts with receiving a word about Yeshua. God's work in our life continues not only what he wants to do in us, but then what he wants to do through us. Begins with God giving us a word, which is a call. That's what Mary received. That's what each of us who know what God's called us to, that's what we've received. And it was a decision for Mary. It's a decision for us. Our faith in God's word releases his provision to fulfill it. We must be willing to step out into nothingness, as it were. I mean, the angel comes and speaks and tells Mary all these grand and glorious things, and she says, let it be, and then he leaves, and it's just Mary and nothing tangible that she can see. Nothing. And yet she's got to carry this seed in the womb of her spirit. See, I believe that God plants his call in the womb of our spirit, because that's the birthing place. See, first, before there can ever be a birthing, there's got to be a conception, right? And that's what this word does. It brings about a conception in the womb of our spirit. It causes us to conceive a vision of what it is that God's called us to do. God's called Kathy and I to go to the nations. And we've been going on that vision, following that vision. In fact, the name of our ministry is Following Him International, taken from Matthew 9:9, where Levi was sitting at the receipt of customs, of taxes, and Jesus walked up to him and said, follow me. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know where Jesus wanted him to go. He didn't know what it was going to cost him. But the Bible says he got up and left and followed Jesus. Amen. The sign that you've bought into the vision, that you've accepted the call, is that you get up and begin to follow. Amen. You begin to act. Well, where are we going? Don't know. No more than Abraham. What about Abraham? Or Abram, as he was before his name was changed. What about him? God says, I want you to leave. You know, leaving's not so bad if you know where you're going. Come on. Leaving is not so bad if you know where you're going. But if you have no clue, and God's saying, just leave and follow me. Where are we going? Don't worry about where. Just follow. See, the instructions are so simple, we miss them sometimes. Just follow. If you follow, you will end up at the right place. If you don't follow, who knows where you'll end up? Hallelujah. Our faith in that releases God's provision. God took care of Abraham when Abraham began to step out. Some of us want something to happen, and then we're going to believe. God says, no, believe, and then something will happen. Selah. Amen. Hallelujah. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 8 through 19, the angels appear to the shepherds while they're keeping watch, and then they go and they see the little child, and all these things are spoken. Oh, let's just read it. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 19. I know it's a little bit lengthy, but let's just read. Luke 2, verses 8 through 19. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm so glad he said that. That's where us Gentiles got in. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from heaven into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were spoken to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary hid all these things in her heart and pondered them. Pondering is what we do between us and God. It's not what you do with Billy Joe and Aunt Susie and Uncle Bob. Pondering is what you do with you and God, meditating together, allowing God to give you the understanding, allowing God to give you the assurance of the word. Because if you talk to these others that I mentioned, and some I didn't mention, you may end up never going. You may end up never following Yeshua. You may end up never doing the assignment that you've been given to do. You may miss out on the thrill of seeing God supernaturally provide in every area of your life what you need. Amen? So Mary pondered these things in her heart. And then I also want you to look upon in the second chapter, verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. After that, they had done the things that were required by the Torah for Yeshua, then Mary and Joseph and those went back to Nazareth. And in verse 40, it says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Another way to look at that was the grace of God was upon the assignment that Mary had had, for not only had she conceived, but she had brought it to fruition. But now there was a need for a continuing of grace to allow that had been birthed, not just conceived, but birthed, to come to its fullest, to its maturity. You know, Jesus for 30 years did no miracles. Contrary, there are some writings that say that when Jesus was a child, he'd make clay birds and make them come alive, and Apocrypha-type scriptures like that. That's not true. Jesus did no miracles until he reached the age of 30. And for 3 years, in 3 years, he fulfilled what he had been being prepared for in 30 years. Think about that. 30 years of preparation for 3 years of service. Some of us don't want to give 3 days. Selah. Still love me. Hallelujah. God's favor. His grace is God's provision for you to complete the assignment which God has given you. See, God never gives vision without giving provision. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Would you just bow your heads for a minute? I'm just wondering, is there anybody here today you'd be willing to say, I understand that God's given me a call, and I recognize I need his favor, I need his grace to be upon my life to be able to do what he's called me to do, because I recognize I can't do it by myself. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I'm raising my hand. Hallelujah, Father. I'd like to pray for all of us who raised our hands. Father, we just thank you and praise you, first of all, for the favor that you placed on our life and the gracing that you put on our life so that we could come to know Yeshua, that we might know life and know it in its full abundance. And then, Lord, that you allowed us then to go on and come to understand that you, sovereign God, had put your hand on our life and you had called us to do something for you. What an honor. I thank you, Father, that today we also understand that not only have you called us, but that you have made provision, and that without your provision, we can never accomplish what you've called us to do. And certainly we'd never be able to do it the way you wanted it done. So, Lord, in behalf of myself and all those who raised their hand today, we're asking you, Lord, that this favor that you spoke to Mary about, that manifested in her life, that enabled her to do what you'd called her to do, that enabled her to accept that the supernatural was going to take place in her life, and the Son of God was going to be conceived in her womb, and then for that to come to the place of birthing, and then to receive all the other provisions that you had that would enable her to be who Yeshua needed right up to the time that he stepped into his ministry. Lord, we too acknowledge our need. We need your help. Lord, time is short. Everything that we see in the Word, everything that we see happening around us in our world tells us time is short. And Lord, because we love you, because we love what you've called us to do, we don't want Yeshua to return and us not have accomplished what you said for us to do. We want to be like the Apostle Paul. Fight a good fight. Keep the faith. But accomplish what you called us to do. And I pray, Father, that your grace and your favor would just flow afresh into each one of us. And Lord, that right now we just flip the switch of faith that would allow that favor and that grace to flow into us in our mind, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our finances, in our relationships, in every area, Father, where it's necessary. Father, we thank you that as a loving Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord God, our provider, not just of bread to keep us alive and finances to pay the light bill, but Lord, to be able to do what you called us to do. Lord, to go out and make an impact in this world. We thank you, we praise you, Father, that you have promised, are faithful to bring it to pass in our lives. In Yeshua's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Before I let you go, I just want to share something that the Lord dropped in my heart very recently. Last night we were conducting a memorial service in Abingdon, Virginia, for someone that we knew who used to come to our church occasionally when we were pastoring. And they were having a memorial service for him. And I was sharing about as one of the members of the family told me that he was a hard worker, he was diligent, and that he took pride in his work. And I was using that as one of the items of remembrance. And the Lord just quickened in me that this individual, they realized they didn't own all of United Parcel Service for whom they worked. But they realized that there was a segment of it, there was a part of it for which they were responsible to make it the very best that they could be. And I just want to drop this nugget into all of our hearts. Whatever it is that God's called you to do, it's to have an impact and an influence on some group of people, on some segment of this world. And it ought to be our desire, wherever that God's assigned us, that we make sure that the part we've got responsibility over is the very best that it can be. Can you say amen? Well, praise the Lord. It was such a joy ministering to you this morning. Always enjoy coming. There are hungry hearts here. And when there's hungry hearts, the Holy Spirit can flow. Do you know why the Holy Spirit was able to bless worship like he did this morning? There were hungry hearts. There were people who yearned to worship. And the Holy Spirit came to accommodate the hunger that was in your heart. The Holy Spirit always comes to help us do what we hunger after doing. And according to what Colossians tells us, he even comes to work in us both to will and to do God's good pleasure. Because sometimes there's a part of us that may not want to buy into everything God's called us to do. Hallelujah. We've got four precious great-grandchildren. Now, that's where you're supposed to think to yourself, you don't look like you're old enough to have great-grandchildren. And if you didn't think that, I forgive you. Just need to get my glasses. Anyway, and we don't want to leave. We just had a new one. He's only about 2 months old. Two-month-old great-grandson. Do we want to leave him and go to Mauritius or any place else out of the country? In the natural, no. But we refuse to be bound by the limitations of the natural. Amen? There's too much to do for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Bowers. Always an encouraging word. I'll have to say I look forward to them coming and ministering because it's always a special service. We, at the end of the service, I'm going to do the ironic blessing, and then we have Oneg across the corridor over here for our guests. I think we got donuts and pastries and things, something to drink. So, but we'll give you a chance at the end, after I do the blessing, to do a love offering for the Bowers. And if you want to write a check, you can make it out to their organization, which is
Following Him International.
F-H-I. Probably the easiest way to remember it.
The word million spelled with an M.
Okay. Don't misspell the million, okay? Okay, if you arise, I'll say the blessing. And the Heavenly Father spoke to Moshe, and he said, this is how you'll instruct our own when my people come before me. Eva karadonai veishmareka yo adonai panaveleka vikunika isa adonai panaveleka vayasimleka. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the HaMashiach, the Son of God, our Redeemer, have peace this week in Yeshua's name. And a blessed new year. Amen.